Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." What a wonderful message that is. And this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I want to welcome you today to the radio broadcast, Blessings of Liberty. How exciting it is to come week after week, year after year now, and preach and proclaim and teach and talk about God's news of liberty. Liberty is a wonderful thing, and I am thankful for it. So I'd like for you to stay with us today. We have a very interesting broadcast I want to deal with today, and I'm going to be telling you the story of the hungry wolf and the slavish dog. And sort of a subtitle to that would be, "How Important is Freedom to You?" But first, before we do that, I want to say good morning to Noah. He's with us here in the studio. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA, those listening in on AM 690, that's WZAP, located in Bristol, Virginia, and also those on KBGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I want to just make a few announcements this morning before we get started, and especially for our local listeners and those on WZAP as well. But I'm going to be in revival this coming week, May the 5th through the 8th, at the Blue Rock Baptist Church in Burnsville, North Carolina. Pastor Kenneth Forbes is the pastor over there, and that is also in the listening area of WZAP. So we wanted to mention for those listeners as well, revival services Sunday night. That's this coming Sunday night. They'll start at 6 p.m., and then Monday through Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And so we wanted to mention that. And also, Willow Valley Baptist Church is having their annual meeting, the Old Paths Revival Meeting. And that's going to be starting this Sunday night as well, the 5th. And I believe they go through Friday night, the 10th. And so Pastor Ray Green is the pastor over there. And so let's pray for that meeting. They have morning services as well as evening services. Their evening evangelist is going to be Brother T.D. Burgess. And Brother T.D., he preached, I believe it was year before last, and just a wonderful man of God, and we really enjoyed it and got a blessing out of it. And so he's going to be there in the evening, and then their morning services begin at 9:45. Preachers called from the floor. So if you go, be ready to preach. And that has been a blessing over the past few years. I don't know if this is 2 or 3 years, but I know it's at least 2. But anyway, that's coming up. So pray for that meeting as well. And then later on in the month of May, at the Bible Way Baptist Church, they're going to be having the Hope of Israel Regional Conference and Camp Meeting on Israel, Prophecy, and the End Times. That is May the 22nd. Through the 24th at the Bible Way Baptist Church. That's at 964 George Wilson Road. They also are going to be having day services. This is a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday. And on Thursday and Friday at 1:30, they're going to be having a afternoon service. And then that evening at 7 p.m., Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they're going to be having Brother Daniel Freed and Brother Tony Hudson is going to be their visiting evangelist. So we're looking forward to being there in those meetings as well. And I wanted to mention that, and that's very interesting. If you want to know what's going on in prophecy, just look at Israel, and there is a great deal going on even today. I mean right now, today. And so watch Israel. It is the apple of God's eye. And later on this month, let me mention one more thing. Later on this month, in the month of May, I know this is the last day of April, but I'm already going ahead to May. But I've got a book coming out, a new book. It's been a lot of years since I have done any writing, but I am excited about this. The book is going to be called Today's Proverb, or is Today's Proverb, A Year of Godly Wisdom. It's 360 566 daily devotionals out of the book of Proverbs. And Brother Daniel Trantham is going to be carrying these books locally at the Grace Bible Bookstore. And I'm hoping within a week or two, we will have that book ready for the shelf. It's at the printers right now, and we're anxiously waiting to get those books back. And I've been working on that a couple of years, so I'll tell you more about that when I have it in my hand. But the Grace Bible Baptist Bookstore is local here, and Brother Daniel, he has a great many Bibles and books over there, and his number's 828-263-2935. If you haven't been over there, you ought to go by and visit with Brother Daniel at the Grace Bible Baptist Bookstore. I'm glad they're in town. Well, we're going to get right into the subject for today, and we're going to talk about the hungry wolf and the slavish dog. How important is freedom to you? The hungry wolf and the slavish dog. How important is freedom to you? Evidently, it is not very important to some people. I don't know how many of our listeners have heard about or maybe read about. There's a man out in California. His name is Mark Dice. And it says that he is a media critic and social analyst. Now, I have no idea what that is, but what he did, he went out in the community with a petition, and he did this as an example or an experiment, I guess would be a better way to put it. He went out and he talked to people with a petition, and what he was doing was trying to gather signatures for several different things. To do away with the Bill of Rights, to do away with the Second Amendment, to do away with parental rights, to do away with due process. And he did it as a farce. He didn't really want to do away with these things, but to show how ignorant people are of the Bill of Rights and the freedoms that we have, he would go out and I've seen him do an interview, and within 15 or 20 minutes, he could have a whole page of names filled up. And he said in the interview what he would do. He said, can I talk to you a minute? And if somebody would stop and talk to him, he would say, can you help out President Obama? And he said people would take and you can see videos of this online, and I've even seen it on the news as well. But he'd say, can you help out the president? And he'd go into this spiel about we need to get rid of freedom of speech, or we need to get rid of due process so we don't have to deal with these lawyers and things. And just really amazing how quickly people would sign away their basic freedoms that we have and enjoy right here in America. So evidently not everybody is up on how important freedom is. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says over there, says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In the Bible message of liberty and freedom is very, very important. Freedom spiritually is what the Apostle Paul is talking about, and first and foremost, we should be concerned with spiritual freedom that we receive by and through the Lord Jesus Christ in the new birth. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, wanted to ask him some questions, and Jesus said unto him, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Later on in John chapter number 8, the Bible says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, first of all, I'm thankful for my spiritual freedom that I have by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But spiritual freedom opens my eyes and lets me see how important physical freedom is. Freedom is important to those who are truly free. Now, if it doesn't mean anything to you, of course, it's not important to you. But if you realize how valuable it is, how precious that your freedom is, then it is very, very important to you. And so what I'm going to do today, this is a little different. But I'm going to read a story to you. It's just a very short story, and it is an Aesop's fable. And the story, the one I'm reading, and I read this to my daughter last night, actually, and I got to thinking about the truth that this story has. So this is a condensed version. This is the Aesop's Fables for young readers. So this is very short. This is very simple. And this is the story of the hungry wolf and the slavish dog. Now, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and I'm going to read this to you. And then I'm going to talk about the great truths in this story. So it begins. One day, a wolf met a dog. The dog was fat. He looked as if he had plenty to eat. The wolf was thin. He looked as if he had nothing to eat. "You're a lucky dog," said the wolf. "You have plenty to eat. I am half starved." "Come with me," said the dog. "You shall have what you like to eat." As they went along, the dog said, "At night I watch the house, and all day I eat or sleep in the yard." "What is that mark on your neck?" asked the wolf. "Oh, that is where the chain wears the hair off," said the dog. "Chain," said the wolf. "Do you wear a chain?" "Oh, yes," said the dog. "My master chains me to my kennel all day, but at night I am free to go where I wish." "Goodbye," said the wolf. "I will not go with you. I may be hungry, but I am free." I like that. "Goodbye," said the wolf. "I will not go with you. I may be hungry, but I am free." You know, usually in stories, the wolf is the bad guy. But in this story, the wolf is the good guy. He is the wise character in the story. "I may be hungry, but I am free." Boy, what a great lesson that story has for us today. As a pastor, I have access to a unique perspective that most people do not have access to. And what I'm talking about is contact with missionaries, preachers, and churches in other places. For example, a couple of weeks ago when the bombing took place, April 15th at the Boston Marathon, I have a missionary friend in Boston. And so as the news transpired throughout the day, I went and just called him on my cell phone and asked him and talked to him about the situation right there in Boston. He was just a few minutes from where all that had taken place. And so that's just by way of example, but missionaries, to have contact with missionaries is a benefit. You don't always have to rely on what you read in a newspaper or what you hear on the news. If you know somebody that is in a particular place in the world and you can talk with them, what a blessing that is. And most Americans have no idea how important it is to people in other countries that we remain free in America. I've heard time and time again from missionaries how Christians in other countries are praying for the church in America. We have a missionary that actually is able to go into the country of China. He has been over there and knows people over there and has been in underground secret church services. And he came to our church and told how the church in China is praying for the church in America. Now, how interesting that is. We think, oh, we need to pray for them. Do you know what? They're praying for us. I've had missionaries come from the Philippines. I've had missionaries that have contacts in Cuba. I've had missionaries that come from Europe, and they will all talk about how Christians in other countries are praying for America. Christians in Egypt are praying for Christians in America that we would maintain our freedoms. Many realize, many people in other countries realize what little freedom they do have is directly linked with the freedoms that we have. What I mean by that, if we lose our freedoms, they know they are going to lose what little freedoms they have. Even in the American Revolutionary War, the Baptists in England were praying for the Baptists in America and the revolutionary people in America during the American Revolutionary War. I want to share just a excerpt from a letter that I have in a book. This is a letter that was addressed to James Manning in May 1st, 1784. James Manning was the president of Brown University, which was established as a Baptist university in America. And he received this letter from Dr. John Rippon from England. And in that letter, he said this. He said, "I believe," now this is a letter from England during the American Revolutionary War. Mr. Rippon says to James Manning, a Baptist preacher, a president of the Baptist of the Brown University, he said, "I believe all of our Baptist ministers in town except two and most of our brethren in the country were on the side of the Americans in the late dispute. We wept when the thirsty plains drank the blood of our departed heroes, and the shout of a king was among us when your well-fought battles were crowned with victory. And to this hour, we believe that the independence of America will, for a while, secure the liberty of this country. But if that continent had been reduced, Britain would not have long been free." He realized how important freedom in America was. And he said that they believe that the independence of America will for a while secure the liberty of this country. And if they had lost, if the Americans had lost their freedoms during the American Revolutionary War, they knew that they would have not been long free. They would not have been free for long, is what he was saying. Realize it or not, you may realize this, you may not, but America is the last bastion of freedom in the whole wide world. Once upon a time, those who were persecuted could go to what they called at that time the New World. They could come to America where they sought religious freedom, political freedom, where they sought to live their lives and be left alone. But you know, I told a pastor friend of mine a while back, I said, there's no new world to go to. There's no unsettled place in the world, no undiscovered continent that we could go and flee to if religious persecution comes to us. If we lose our freedoms, they are gone. And not only are they gone in America, but other countries in the world realize that they will lose their freedoms. Because America is the last place in the world where we can even talk about being truly free. Now, whether or not we are truly free, that stands to be debated. But the idea is there among our people. If you don't realize that our freedoms, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights is under attack, you don't really even know what is going on in the world. Last week, I talked about Boston terror. I talked about the setting aside of the Fourth Amendment, not the bombing that took place, but the terror of the police force that came in and basically took over and set aside the freedoms of those who had done nothing wrong. I talked about that, and I'm not going to rehash all of it here again today, but I am thankful that there has been more people talking about that. And it will be talked about and discussed. I hope it will not just be set aside and forgotten about. But you know, we talk about the First Amendment, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. We talk about the Second Amendment, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But do you know the Fourth Amendment says this, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. But after the bomb up in Boston, Boston became a police state, and people's houses were searched. They went from house to house and actually terrorized the population, terrorized the people. And that was a hard, I've read articles and heard people talk on TV about going through that very thing, how that was more of a terror than the prospect of the 19-year-old boy that was out there on the loose. People were held hostage in their houses. So I'm thankful there's been some outcry and concern from this, even from liberals. And here's the thing about once we start down this slippery slope of taking away the rights of the people, it is not justified whatsoever for any reason whatsoever, unless they were in hot pursuit and went into somebody's house. We could understand that and see that, but if they were chasing somebody, but to go house to house, to search people's houses, to run people out of their houses, this is strictly forbidden in the Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment. But here is the thing about tyranny and tyrants. No matter how much they get, it is never enough. I want to go in the Bible this today to 1 Kings chapter number 20. And this tells an account of King Ahab and the King Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. And it's interesting to me that Syria is even in the news today, that area of the world. Well, some of this stuff's been going on for thousands of years. But I want to read some verses over here in 1 Kings chapter number 20. King Ben-Hadad came against King Ahab. And let me begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll comment along as I go and try to point out some things about this passage of Scripture where there was a house-to-house search made. It said, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria." Now, he's the bad guy. Let me just say that. "Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it." He brought his army in. He besieged Samaria and warred against it. Now, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad." This is his message to King Ahab. It said in verse number 3, here's what Ben-Hadad said, "Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." So Ben-Hadad sent a message, said, "Your gold, your silver, your wives, your children, I have confiscated them. They are all mine." And Ahab, he's not my favorite king in the Bible. He's pretty much at the bottom of the list, but I've got to give him credit here. He eventually does have some backbone. But the first time he says, "You're right, my lord. Everything I have is yours." Well, that's not good enough. Ben-Hadad is a tyrant. Verse 5, the Bible said, "And the messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad." This is the second message. Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, "Although I have sinned unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house and the houses of thy servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away." He said, "You know what? That first deal, that's not good enough. I'm going to come tomorrow. We're going to go through your house and all of your servants' houses, and whatever we want, we're going to take it away." That's what's going on. Verse 7, "Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children and for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent. Finally, they stand up for themselves. They said, don't do it. Don't consent. Tell him no. Verse 9, wherefore he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first, I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. And the king of Israel said, and Ben-Hadad said, all right, if that's the way you want it, we're just going to wipe you off the map. Verse 11, the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. And what that is, what he's saying there in verse number 11, he's saying, you better not brag too soon. You've not won the war yet. Ben-Hadad was bragging before the battle. And Ahab said, he's bragging a little too soon. He better be careful what he says. That was, you might hear this phrase in different circles, Malon Lave, which is a Greek term that basically means, and it goes back to the Battle of Spartacus. I might talk about that one day. It's very interesting as well. But it basically says, come and take them, big boy. You think you're so big and bad? Come and take it. Come and get it. And that's what Ahab was sending the message to Ben-Hadad. He said, all right, that's what it's going to come down to. Come and take them. Well, the wonderful thing about this, Ahab couldn't have won the battle anyway. He's outnumbered. But, God is good and God's merciful even when we are undeserving. And Ben-Hadad, verse 12, heard this message as he was drinking, and the kings in the pavilions, that he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. Verse 13, and behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Even God said, you're going to lose, Ahab. Have you seen how many's out there? Well, it goes on. God said, behold, I will deliver into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. God said, you know what, Ahab? I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to be on your side, because he was on the side of right. And so never discount what the Lord is able to do for us in our present circumstances, because it looks pretty grim if you look at it through worldly eyes. I read this last week. Benjamin Franklin, he wrote in 1775, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Wolves in the Bible are usually bad, but I read the Aesop's fable, and the wolf said, I may be hungry, but I'm free. I'm going to have to side with the wolf on this one. Freedom is a wonderful thing. If you think you're going to give up your liberty for a little safety, Benjamin Franklin said, you deserve neither liberty nor safety. Oh, how we need revival in this day and time in which we live. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 28, the Bible's talking over there about the nation of Israel. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I'll tell you what we need in America more than anything else. We need a revival. We need a great awakening, a stirring, a moving of the Spirit of God in our land to awake us to the great liberty that we have, and how near we are, how it's eroding, being taken away so quickly. We need to wake up. We need to pay attention. We need to pray. We need the Lord to do something for us in these last days. Well, I thank you for listening. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.